Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local, sunny outside. It's a beautiful day today. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, joins us every Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. I know we talked about this just a little bit last week, but I know since we were talking about the new anti-camping ordinance, I assume PPD is in the position of basically saying, hey, this is a new thing. We got till October. The lawyers are going to look at it, and we'll figure out how we're going to enforce at that point. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to wait till the lawmakers and the attorneys get this figured out. We'll kind of stand back in the background, and once the law becomes a law to where we are able to enforce it, then we will. But in the meantime, we're going to let them get that figured out, and then we will act appropriately after that.
Makes perfect sense to me. I just know some people are probably thinking, are you going to ask Mike about it? Well, yeah. I mean, but I think the answer here is pretty straightforward for the police officers. Implementation may not be straightforward, but the answer for now is fairly easy to figure out. We had a possible DUI that crashed into a Pensacola police cruiser on Bayou. Is that right?
Yeah, the officer was in the turn lane getting ready to make a turn, and the vehicle was coming at him in the opposite direction, swerved over his lane, and hit him pretty much head on. The officer was sent to the hospital with a possible leg injury. Looks like he's going to be okay. The leg was not broken, and minor injuries in the other vehicle. So that's being investigated as a possible DUI. We don't have the lab work back yet on that one, but when we do, there could be possible charges in the future on that.
And am I right? That's the second collision with an officer on Bayou in the last couple of weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. The other one, they're on different ends of Bayou, but the other one was near Hyde Park. So, yeah.
And by the way, people might have missed it in what you just said, but, on TV, I know we always do a cop myth. This isn't really the cop myth for today, but just, it's a little early. You mean you guys don't get the toxicology screenings back in, 90 minutes or 20 minutes like they do on TV? It doesn't work that way?
No, it doesn't work that way. And, and when injuries are possible, injuries are involved and people have to be evaluated at the hospital, there's different ways of handling that case. Obviously there's not going to be any field sobriety tests done, but so we do have to do some waiting on situations like this.
How much time does it take? I mean, are we talking like 3 days, a week, 2 weeks? Totally depends.
That's hard to say. It depends on the backlog of cases. They process those cases as they come in. Sometimes there are cases that need to have rushes put on them, and the state attorney's office can ask for a rush on something like that. But normally on a possible DUI incident, they are processed as they come in, so we have to wait.
I gotcha. We also had a vehicle crash into the Adonis Bakery, right, which is in the city. What happened here?
Well, we're looking at that one, too. We're not exactly sure what. We know that there was some excessive speed involved, and a vehicle hit the front of the business and flipped over and had a couple of young ladies in it. Fortunately, they're going to be okay. And that one, too, is under investigation as to what the cause was.
Okay. All right. Very good. In much more serious news, we had a homicide of a 15-year-old male on Thursday last week, and then you guys have made, I think, one or maybe even two arrests, including of a 14-year-old. Is that, do I have the basically correct?
You do. It was 14-year-old fired a single shot that was fatal to the 15-year-old, and then we arrested a 19-year-old female that we understand assisted in providing the weapon. So she was charged as well.
This is Gonzales Court, if I remember correctly. Do we know a why or a? I mean, do we know anything else about motives or incident or what was going on here?
No, we're still looking into that, but it really doesn't. Why doesn't matter as much as the teenagers, the young people with guns we're scratching our head over this. We keep seeing it and we talk about it, and community leaders and politicians and teachers and everybody else, try to keep this from happening, asking them to put the guns down, but yet it still keeps happening. So, we're just wishing it would stop, obviously, but it's a very unfortunate situation because you have two families. One family obviously has lost their child, and the other one is going to have to live with the consequences of a bad decision for the rest of his life.
I just, when I hear these stories, I have three boys, right? I have a 19, a 17, and a 15, and when I hear a story like this, I think, the one side about the victim side, but also about the offender side, an eighth or ninth grader shooting somebody. It's just hard to wrap my brain around that. But in this case, I believe the state attorney has announced that they're pursuing charges as an adult. But that is the state attorney's decision. That is not a police decision. Is that right?
That's right. That's up to them. But this is obviously a very serious crime, and the state attorney's office has done that before, and that's something that's not unusual. So they're probably going to look real hard at this case as well, which they're doing.
Do we happen to know, pardon me if this is either not known or obvious, but the 14-year-old has been charged, has a criminal record, long, short, do we know?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. And I could tell you, if I did know, I wasn't going to introduce that on the air because of being a juvenile. So,
okay.
I don't know, to
Fair
be
enough.
Honest with you. I honestly don't know.
And that's why I wasn't sure if that was even, knowable information. So I appreciate that answer. Just curious where we stand with the red light cameras at this point. The last I recall, it was waiting on equipment to be installed. Is that, or to be received even. Where are we at, do you know?
Yeah, that's where we're at. The target was the first part of spring, and which started this week, and hopefully we're going to get those up and running soon. I don't know exactly where we are, whether it's equipment or whether it's installation, but that's something I can follow up on for you.
Not very good. And then last thing I always like to end with, like a did you know or a cop myth or something, and you have one for us this week?
Yeah, I do, and you and I were talking off the air about the Real-Time Crime Center. Now that I think about it, this phone call that came into my phone this week, I think, may have came after that conversation, and this gentleman wanted to know that, if he clicks on our website where it says camera registration, is that can law enforcement just automatically look through his cameras in a certain neighborhood if something was to happen in front of his house? And the answer to that, we want to be very clear on this, is no. When you register your cameras with us, all we're doing is keeping a list of cameras and where they are in the city. So if we have an incident that happens in a certain location, we can go back, contact that resident, and ask them to look at their cameras and see if there's anything on there during a specific time that we could use to help solve a case. There's no way that the officers or the police department can look through your cameras whenever they want to. That's not how it works. This is something that the homeowner has to do on their own. Or they can have law enforcement come to their home and look through it and see if there's something that they can use. But it's absolutely not anything that we can do on our own without the permission, or look through your cameras without permission. That's a myth, and that's simply not true.
You mean it's not like on TV where some super smart, never been caught before hacker is working in the bowels of the Pensacola Police Department and can instantly log into everybody's home security system without their permission? It's not like that.
No, we haven't gotten to that point. We're not that good, Andrew.
No, I love this service, though. It's, I have a camera, and I'm willing to be helpful. So if there's something in my area, you can call me, text me, email me, and let me know to look at my camera if I'm able to do that. It's a good service, and, it's something we talked about with Chip on Tuesday, and I'm glad you bring this up, because I do think a lot of people don't understand that. And everybody's always so apprehensive about, clicking on anything that they would agree to, and this is, like, the lowest possible level of cooperation with law enforcement is just to let us know, to let law enforcement know that you've got a camera and maybe you could be helpful in a situation. But certainly you cannot log into that camera remotely. And anyway, all the weird things that people believe. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for helping keep our community safe. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.